Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're going to be talking a little bit about the macro environment, some news that's going on that may impact Tesla stock. We also have an update on the Made in China Model Y, and then I want to take a look back at the Supercharger network and the progress there over 2020 and where we might be headed going into 2021. All right, so kind of a volatile day for the markets overall today, and Tesla followed a little bit of that volatility, though of course that's nothing really all that new for Tesla, but it did finish the day up 2.8%. to $755.98, a continuation of the trend we've seen this week, as well as the rise that we saw specifically in after hours yesterday after Morgan Stanley increased their price target on Tesla by 50%. As for the NASDAQ, it did start the day in the red, flipped to green midday, then fell back to red to close the day down 0.6%, I think reacting a little bit throughout the day to some political turmoil that's been going on in the United States. Generally, I tend not to dive too deep into politics on this channel, but a couple of relevant things for today that we're just going to take a cursory look at. The first of which is the Georgia Senate runoff elections. The Associated Press has now called both of those races, both flipping from Republican to Democrat, meaning the split in the Senate is now 50 Republicans, 50 Democrats. That even split does favor the Democrats in this case, because in the case of a tie on any votes, Vice President-elect Kamala Harris, Democrat, would be casting the tie-breaking vote. So that's for the Senate, which was previously Republican-controlled. As for the House of Representatives, Democrats have already had majority there with 222 seats Democrat, 211 Republican. So with majority in the House, the Senate now flipping, Democrats should have a much easier time pushing new legislation through Congress. What does that mean for Tesla? Well, I think simultaneously a lot of things, and at the same time, not really all that much, which is another way of me saying that we're likely to see a lot of changes come from this, but I think Tesla is extremely well-positioned to be successful regardless of any of those changes or which party has control. Obviously, I think the first question that would come to mind is, okay, does this make it more likely that an electric vehicle tax credit will be implemented, or I guess re-implemented or adjusted? And certainly politics aren't my expertise, but I would have to say that from my perspective, it looks like that would become more likely now. Previously, when changes like that have been going through Congress, there seemed to have been enough bipartisan support to get them through, but there have been reports that some of those changes have been scrapped due to pushback from the White House. With Democratic control now in both Congress and the White House, it would seem like something like that would get through pretty easily, but you never really know what kind of deals are going to be made, and we're in a new environment now very suddenly, even from where we were, you know, 12 months ago. Valuations of electric vehicle companies have really blossomed. Obviously, that's primarily led by Tesla, and that can make it a little bit more difficult to justify having an incentive for electric vehicles, even just by looking at the market. Should that have an impact? Maybe not, but I do think that it can. The other big political news, and this is more of the turmoil that I mentioned at the beginning, there were protests at the U.S. Capitol building today as Congress worked to count the votes of the Electoral College to certify President-elect Joe Biden's victory in the election. An unfortunate scene, a number of injuries have been reported, and one person was reportedly fatally shot. Not to reduce any of this down to the market, obviously it's a bigger deal than that, but it did provide a little bit of that downward pressure on the market in this afternoon's trading. All right, let's move on to more Tesla-specific stuff. We'll start in China with the Model Y. We had talked earlier this week about some rumors that Tesla had received 100,000 orders already for the Made in China Model Y, and that wasn't really fitting with another rumor that we had heard that new orders as of, you know, January 2nd, January 3rd would be delivered in March. Obviously, Tesla wouldn't be producing 100,000 over the course of a couple months right at the start of production. But we now do have a more formal update on this situation. Tesla has updated on the Tesla China Design Studio the estimated delivery timeline for the Model Y from January 2021 originally, now to Q2 for the long-range version and Q3 for the performance Model Y. The wording here is a little bit different between the two. So for the long range, translated, it says estimated delivery date, second quarter 2021. And then for performance, it says delivery is expected to begin in the third quarter of 2021. So I'm not sure if the performance was actually like that from the beginning. If anybody happens to remember that, let me know. But that to me reads like they may not be delivering any performance models until Q3. That would be a little bit odd to me to prioritize the non-performance over the performance. Obviously, the performance is going to have better margins, higher revenue, and the hardware differences, at least out of Fremont, are pretty minimal. So I thought that was a bit odd, but at any rate, we are seeing now these extended delivery wait times for the Made in China Model Y. Now, does that mean they have 100,000 orders? Who knows? I think we saw another rumor that Model Y production rate at China right now could be something like 3,000 per week. It's early in the ramp up, so my guess is that's probably a little bit high, though I wouldn't be too surprised if they were able to get there sometime in Q1. But let's just say they're there now and they produce 3,000 a week throughout Q1. That would put them at just shy of 40,000 vehicles, so that still wouldn't necessarily fit with the delivery estimate here if there were 100,000 orders outstanding. On the other hand, that delivery estimate could be aggressive too. Tesla's not going to want to put that too far away because that will diminish the interest in the vehicle and the number of orders they're getting. Either way, doesn't make too much of a difference in terms of deliveries. Obviously, it's a new product, just starting production. Tesla's going to be production constrained for quite some time. All right, next up here, I want to take a look at the supercharging network. Supercharger network update for those of you that have listened to the podcast since the start. Because in the last couple of days, Tesla has actually updated their Find Us page on their website, which shows their current charging locations, both supercharger and destination charging, as well as stores and service. But most interestingly, shows their future planned locations, which have now been updated, and they also have new timeline estimates down to quarter level specificity. So definitely go check that page out, see what's going on in your region. But that brought to mind to me that we just really haven't checked in on the progress with the supercharger network for quite some time. So I wanted to take a more in-depth look at that here, especially because this is a question I get from time to time. Is Tesla really expanding this network fast enough? Is it keeping pace with their vehicle growth? Well, there's a great site out there that has tracked this over the years, supercharge.info. And while obviously the data there isn't going to be as complete as Tesla's internal data, we can see how the progress has looked over time. So in 2020, Tesla added 352 new supercharging locations and about 3,800 new supercharging stalls. So the location count started at about 1,750, ended just over 2,100, while the stall count started at about 15,500 and ended just over 19,000. As for the regional breakdown, of those 352 new locations, 232 of those were North America, 89 in Europe, and then 31 in Asia Pacific. So some big numbers there, but really hard to know if that's enough without some more context. So we're going to look at past years as well. But before we do that, I think the more important context would be Tesla's actual goal. So when they first handed over Model 3s at that Model 3 delivery event, which was late July 2017, they said their goal was to have 18,000 superchargers live by the end of 2018. Now, given that they just crossed over 19,000 this year, it definitely seems like they were a bit behind on that goal. So let's look at the progress over the last few years here. In terms of location count, you can see that it's actually been pretty stable. 2017, they added 350 chargers, 2018, 308, 2019, 330, and then 2020, around 350. And then in terms of actual supercharging stalls, they've really added around 3,500 per year, the lowest being 3,300, the highest being 3,800 this year. So again, very linear there in terms of the expansion. You can see that in terms of new locations added, 2018 was actually 13% lower than 2017. Then we had increases of 8% and 5% the following 2 years. And compared to Tesla's own target there, they said 18,000 superchargers by the end of 2018. Well, they didn't hit that until 2020. And at the end of 2018, they were actually just below 12,000 superchargers. If we look at vehicles per supercharger, what this means is that as Tesla continues to deliver more and more vehicles while continuing to expand the supercharger network at that same, 350 station pace per year, it just means there are more and more vehicles per location and per stall. So we can see that here. Now it's 2020, Tesla has delivered about 1.4 million vehicles cumulatively. So back in 2017, there were about 34 vehicles per supercharging stall. Now in 2020, that's almost doubled to about 73 per stall. If Tesla continues this for 2021, and let's say they deliver another 800,000 vehicles there, just, rough math, then per location, they're going to be at 900 vehicles per location, 95 per stall, pretty close to triple what they were back in 2017. So this isn't necessarily bad. It's not necessarily good. From a business perspective, higher utilization can mean that Tesla is better leveraging their capital that they've deployed for the charging network. More vehicles are using each stall. Less capital has had to have been deployed for each vehicle on the road. But obviously that only works up to a point where if people are having difficulties charging or there are long wait times, that can lead to a bad customer experience. Thankfully, Tesla's got all the data on that. They know how long people are waiting. They know how high the utilization for each of their supercharging locations is. If they have high utilization at one, they can build one nearby. Obviously, a station in North Dakota, it needs to be there for interstate travel. That helps the locals, but it's never going to be as heavily utilized as a station in Silicon Valley or LA. So more total vehicles per location or per stall is not necessarily something that I find as a concern. The bigger concern to me would actually be Tesla's own target of 18,000 superchargers by the end of 2018, and really only just now in 2020 crossing that mark. Here though is where Supercharger version 3 I think becomes a critical part of this analysis. Tesla introduced Supercharger version 3 back in March of 2019, So for those V3 stations, that brings a higher rate of charge. A higher rate of charge means vehicles are getting in and out more quickly. That means throughput is increasing. So the same number of chargers can actually service more vehicles. If you're Tesla and you're sitting there in 2018, knowing that you are on the verge of releasing this new technology, you're probably not going to invest a ton in your older technology, massively building out version 2 chargers when you know that V3 is right around the corner. That would just be a poor use of capital. So knowing about version 3, I can definitely understand why Tesla did not hit their goal in 2018. And with the introduction of version 3, our comparisons are not necessarily fair just looking at new locations or new stalls, if those stalls actually have a higher throughput. So I do think there's a pretty good explanation there, but all of that being said, I would like to see Tesla really accelerate their expansion of the supercharger network now that V3 is, you know, ready to go, ready to be deployed, and they've had time to ramp up production of that new charging technology as well as find locations. This is another area where Tesla's valuation has changed the equation to some extent. Tesla is now pretty flush with capital. There shouldn't really be anything other than time for planning locations that's holding them back from rapidly expanding the network. If Tesla really wants to start delivering, you know, 4 million vehicles per year a couple of years from now, and 20 million vehicles per year by 2030, they're going to need a more robust charging network than they have now, even though, of course, right now it is amazing and it's the best one that exists. Thankfully, it looks like 2021 might be the year that this does actually accelerate. As we've talked about before on the podcast, Tesla is reportedly building a factory in Shanghai that will build V3 superchargers, and there are reports that the production capacity is targeted to be 10,000 per year. Now, if we look back, again, the last 3 years, they've added about 3,500 new stalls per year. So that'd really be tripling their production capacity, and presumably that's incremental capacity. So if we add that to the 3,800 stalls that they added in 2020, we could be looking at Tesla's supercharger expansion being something more like 14,000 stalls per year instead of, you know, 3,800. Obviously, they won't hit that number this year, but maybe they get to that sort of a rate towards the end of the year. The more locations around, the less you have to think about it, the less you have to worry about it, the less you have to plan ahead for. It just makes the EV ownership experience smoother and better and easier. So my answer to the question of is Tesla expanding the supercharger network too slowly would be no, I think they're doing about right, but I think they can accelerate it here now that they've got the capital, now that they're locked in on V3 technology, which I have to assume is future-proof to some extent if Tesla does up their charge rates. And hopefully it's looking like Tesla agrees with this and is heading down that path. So this is something we'll keep an eye on throughout the year. Of course, there's also a ton of opportunity for charging outside of superchargers, specific to, you know, multifamily units, apartments, solutions for those that have to rely on street parking, but probably a topic for another day. So that'll wrap it up for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And I will see you tomorrow, not for the June 7th episode of Tesla Daily. Yesterday I said today would be June 6th, and being in Milwaukee, you would think I would know that it's not June, it's January, but apparently not, or you never know, maybe I'm just throwing that in there to see how many of you actually listen to this towards the end. Either way, I'll see you tomorrow for the January 7th, 2021 episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.